Welcome back to Anime Death Spiral, the only anime podcast to be officially endorsed by the Florida educational
Thank
system.
Thank you, Nate. And it's great to be back. Really feel much better now that I'm back at home behind the mic talking about anime.
You are, of course, referring to your recent pilgrimage to, I don't know, where it is that you go.
Well, after the intense opening of anime fall season 2024 anime season, you know, I have to detox a little bit.
You got to come up with a more streamlined way to say that. There's got to be a more elegant way.
I don't know. You figure it out. I'll put you on that one. I do have to take a little bit of time and retire to Wasp Country just to kind of deradiate myself from the anime.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, my body reaches dangerous anime saturation levels, and I'm getting on in years, and my body just can't take that level of anime like it used to.
No, makes sense. You got to go, sit out on the beach, eat tiny cheeses and weird tinned fish in oil.
Yeah.
Right?
Tour a vineyard with maybe a bachelorette party.
Oh.
We're driving little like golf carts between the stations, trying various reds.
Oh, how cosmopolitan of you, sir.
Yes. It's about as anti-anime as you can possibly get. So I do feel a little bit refreshed, ready to tackle another 100 hours of metaphor, Fantasio.
Oh, shit.
The most anime thing that I could possibly do outside of just watching, I guess, Demon Slayer movies.
I don't know. I think we've talked about this before. I think amongst the video game sphere, I think the Persona games and the Shin Megami Tensei games are the most anime games.
Well, yes. I mean, outside of visual novels, which we have a very, contrasting opinions on.
Listen, don't hold that against me. I don't have anything against visual novels. I just think that if video game is a spectrum, they are on the lower end of the gaming part of that spectrum.
What's the other pole of that spectrum?
The other pole would be, okay, let me narrow it down then. If it's an RPG, I was saying it's much more on the RP side than the G side, right? Less gameplay, more actively engaging in a story, which is fine. I get why people like that.
Your spectrum goes from roleplay on one side to game on the other side?
Yeah, that's a reasonable spectrum.
That's your spectrum?
That makes perfect sense.
Okay. Sure.
Listen, RPGs, role-playing games, there are two aspects. There's role-playing and there's the game. What don't you get about that?
I mean, you know, if that's how you're going for it, who am I to stop you? I mean, I would say maybe play one single one before you come to any kind of conclusion, but hey, I'm not going to like force you.
Does Phoenix Wright count? Because I've played those.
I mean, yes, I do think Phoenix Wright counts. It's not what most people's mind would jump to when they think visual novel. I think, people would maybe go towards maybe kind of the otome game side first before they went there. A dating game, a classic dating game, perhaps, or, you know, something like one of my favorites, like 999, Virtue's Last Reward, which is sort of a kind of mystery thriller visual novel.
Oh.
Or perhaps, something like the, what is the Japanese title of that? When the Cicadas Cry.
And this is different than Higurashi, When They Cry.
Oh, yes, please. Yes, Higurashi. That is what it is.
Oh, okay. All right, then yes. I do know that one.
Higurashi no Kuro Naka ni.
What about like the Fate games? Those are visual novels, right?
Yes, they also began as visual novels. You know, Higurashi and Fate are both like visual novels that are now, I think, more well known as anime, which seems to happen a lot.
Well, I know that visual novels are a lot cheaper to produce than anime.
Well, you can do it as like one guy, which I think something like Higurashi and Fate began as like one or two guys, and then became like a handful of guys, and that's why it takes so long.
Hmm.
This is also where, like, Umineko When They Cry came, which is, like, that I believe I talked about that at one point as, like, one of those things that, like, people are constantly being like, you gotta play it. You gotta play Umineko. It's, like, so good. It's got such a great story. And then I read the first page, and it's, like, a guy talking about a 10-year-old's underwear. And I'm like, okay, all right, man. I think I'm good. I think I'm good on Umineko.
A real fumble right out the gate.
Yeah. But these are the kinds of things that, like, you know, explode into franchises. That's kind of what's interesting about these visual novels, is they seem to begin as these little seeds that are only popular among, like, these very fanatic groups of people. And then they'll end up as anime, fighting games, you know, mobile games, gacha games, eventually maybe even live action movies, possibly drama CDs. You ever listen to one of those?
No. Is that still, like, a big thing? I know that that was a big, like, lots of media franchises had additional, like, audio, like, stuff that, you know, radio plays and stuff like that, and online, like, sound bites that they release as, like, a peripheral to whatever the franchise is. That was big in, like, the 90s and early 2000s in Japan.
Oh, that's still pretty big.
They still do that?
It drives me fucking crazy, because I'll be reading a manga, and then they'll be like, they'll reference something in, like, a, you know, the drama CD that came with the DVD collection or whatever of the anime version. And I'll be like, what the fuck? I'm never going to get my hands on that. No one's ever going to translate that into English and then produce it.
I mean, the best you can get is a translated script.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem very fun, right?
No.
Like acting it out with your friends or something.
I don't know. Maybe some people are into that. Not me.
Well, actually, I say that out loud, and I realize I actually would have fun doing that. I would have fun doing that.
Oh, you would have fun doing that. You see, I would. That's the kind of social interaction that would make me want to crawl into a cave.
Yeah, you just got to try more things, man. You just got to try more things. Get out there, you know? Get out there. Experience life a little bit.
Ugh.
I read something called...
Oh, wait, hold on.
The gals... Oh, what?
We
do have more to say.
Yeah, well, no, I wanted to hear more about Metaphor, Fantasio, and where you're at that.
No, I was going back to that.
Okay,
I was going back
to
that. I just wanted to say I read some Gyaru stuff that would be of interest to you.
Uh-ho.
And one of them I found out later was based on one of these, like, drama radio adaptation play kind of things. Sound novels or
it's
whatever.
It's a spin-off of a side thing from a different series.
Yeah, and then they made, like, shorts on YouTube, and then they made a manga based on it. What a weird path.
Right?
That's so weird.
I don't know. It's when you lay it out like that, it is kind of cool that Japan's media, like, the way their pop culture and media consumption works allows for interest in that kind of thing, because you can't do that shit with American stuff.
Well, you kind of can.
I don't know. I've never seen it work. Are you saying that you would listen to the True Blood radio plays that came with the DVD sets?
You know, me personally, I don't think so. But, you know, I remember a very... if not maybe not popular, but very well publicized Wolverine audio drama that was going around as a podcast not even a few years ago.
That's crazy. I would look down on anyone who listens to that.
I can't comment on the quality of any of that.
You spent time paying attention to that instead of literally any other thing?
Well, I heard the ads for it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't listen to it. But I will say, I was a kid who grew up on audiobooks and some audio plays. You know, I listened to that shit growing up. I listened to audio dramatic adaptations of Jeeves and Wooster and some Dickens books. And I remember a specific favorite, which was John Cleese reading the Screwtape Letters. That's where I'm at. That's a little peek into my upbringing.
Yeah, I am starting to think that maybe your upbringing was a little off center from the American average, Just gonna put that out there.
It took me a long time to be able to relate to other children. I will admit
he was such a dour child.
Everybody's on this shit.
It is the number one game on Steam right now. Everyone seems to be clambering for this Persona knockoff game. It's not a knockoff; it's a spinoff. Excuse me.
I mean. Knockoff is made by the exact same people.
Can we call it a spiritual spinoff? Is that a thing yet? Do we have that in our vocabulary already?
I mean, we did talk about this last time about the whole Souls-like thing with Sekiro and Bloodborne kind of slotting in there.
Yeah. So what's the deal? You've been playing more of this, right?
I played a bunch of it, hence the detox. I have played so much of it. And yet I still haven't gotten a full party. I don't even know who the last party member is yet. I don't have any clue. And I'm like many, many, shamefully many hours in to this fucking game. So just a testament to the amount of time it expects to suck out of your life. Not that I'm not complaining. I am having a decent time with it. It still feels like a PS3 game to me. Sometimes these Japanese games, they're these like legacy engines, you know, and they just like seem to never evolve. Like people complain the fuck out of Persona Dungeons. I remember when 5 came out and people were like, they're still doing these like weird linear dungeons like this that are just like corridor after corridor of like one texture wall and then random encounters.
You know, I've been thinking about that, and this is just my theory. I don't have anything to back this up, but.
So you're full of shit.
Yeah, I'm full of shit, so, you know, just putting that preface out there.
Okay, go ahead.
But if I was Atlas, like, I would attribute that to more trying to stay true to a house style than any technical limitation, right? We know that they can do better. They don't want to do better. I think they're just making the game that they want to be, and they have a very clear, strict vision of what they consider a Persona game to be.
Maybe.
With the linear, you know, randomly generated dungeon layouts, a staple of the series.
I mean, it certainly could be. It does seem weird to think that even in, like, Ocarina of Time, there were things like you'd flip a switch and the camera would pan to what it interacts with and then pan back to you. Uh-huh. So that you knew, like, in 3D space, the relationship between your character and what just happened. And Persona still cuts to a loading screen and then cuts to the thing that, like, the door opening, and then cuts to another loading screen and then cuts to your character, as if we haven't, you know, developed game development concepts in any way in the last 20 years.
What you're not getting is that those loading screens are aesthetic and a central core feature of the Persona experience. Everything there is by intent.
I can't in good faith completely disagree with that. I do think there is something to the aesthetic of it. Obviously, like we said before, the aesthetic of Persona is what sells the game.
Sure.
And they know that.
I think that in a day and age where turn-based RPGs are all but gone outside of the indie-like space, like, Persona is still what some would consider one of the few long-lasting Japanese, like, franchise titles, like AAA franchise titles, still carrying that around. Final Fantasy got rid of it a long time ago at this point, and, like, I don't think this is related, but also Final Fantasy isn't doing great right now, whereas Atlus is doing gangbusters with every release.
You play any of those, like, non-mainline Final Fantasies?
I tried playing Tactics back in the day. It wasn't my jam. I was never super into, like, tactics style game like that or Fire Emblem.
Oh, well, I love Tactics, but I meant more like the modern ones, you know?
Well, what do you mean? Like, which ones are you talking about? Oh, what was it? The Final Fantasy 1 prequel game that came out?
Oh,
Stranger of Paradise.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Stranger of Paradise. Yeah. I played the demo.
No, I did want to play that one. I heard that that was like a hack and slash beat 'em up, kind of like a Devil May Cry.
Yes. I played the demo for that, and I actually had a pretty good time. It's so like new metal. It was very funny. There are wallet chains in that game.
Yeah.
It kind of rules. I was thinking more of like, you know, your world of Final Fantasy, or maybe like some of the mobile games, like the 15 spinoffs. There are a couple of Final Fantasy 15 spinoffs.
You know, I think the closest I ever got was the Kingdom Hearts series, to be honest.
Yeah.
That counts, right? That totally counts.
I mean, I guess.
But I've probably played the Kingdom Hearts games individually each more times than I've played Final Fantasy as a like series as a whole.
I would believe that. Because, frankly, I never hear you talking about Final Fantasy outside of the context of, like, 7 and 8, really.
Which are the best ones and the sexiest ones?
Man, I don't know about best ones. I don't want to get into that again. We can't go down that road again.
He lost the last sexy Final Fantasy ranking contest that we had. He's still very bitter about it.
Well, what about X2? Come on, are you fucking kidding me?
Women can't be sexy.
Typical anime opinion.
Okay, all right, back to Metaphor.
Metaphor.
You've been playing a while. You said, okay, I predicted when we talked about this last time, I predicted that there was going to be a big twist. Has there been a big twist yet?
I mean, it's not really a big twist, but I have hit the I guess what you could call the big twist. It is heavily hinted at throughout the entire game. Even in the demo, you can kind of be like, yeah, I think I know what's happening here. But yes, I did hit a moment in the now this is not a spoiler because it is a Japanese RPG. I was playing the ignorant backwoods hicks have their homebrew religion destroyed by logical atheist party members arc. I've just finished that.
Okay.
Unlocked the party member who is disillusioned with their own religion and now is like, actually, atheism is the right way to go. And then their whole village is like, oh, I was blinded by faith. Thank you, strangers.
That's kind of dark.
Yeah.
It is weird how often that pops up in anime in general. Like, do you remember that's the inciting incident, basically, to a T, of the beginning of Full Metal Alchemist. Remember that?
Backwater Hicks have their religion shattered.
Yeah, the very...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The very that first is chapter the first. Is Ed and Al going to the Ishvalan, like, desert. Refugee camp and being like, hey, your god ain't real, look at my science magic, bitch.
Yes, I do remember that now. Yeah, well, it's an odd choice. This one is like literally the weird island people who are cut off from the rest of the world and worship a dragon god, and they all wear buckets on their heads, and like when you get there the theme song is like grunting with like tribal drums underneath it. It's like no. Come on, you guys. I thought we were past this. I thought we were done with this.
Listen, it's 2024. Japan's really starting to kick off their colonial age part two. They're just trying to bring back the old hits, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just disappointing. It's like, come on, you guys. I mean, it's almost so quaint now that I kind of laughed when I realized what was happening.
If anything, I'm sorry, I'm surprised that it wasn't the obvious twist of you being in a video game. That's where I really thought it was going.
No. I mean, I guess I understand why you were going, because that's a lot of like modern anime shit right now. Is guy in a video game, but no, that is not what's happening here.
So is your character, the main character, is he one of the backwater hicks, or is he the righteous and cool atheist?
No, he's the righteous and cool atheist.
Okay.
And his party is the righteous and cool atheists who show up on this island. And the new party member you unlock, who you show the righteous truth of atheism to, is literally a sacrificial maiden.
Oh, no.
Who you have to stop from sacrificing yourself to a dragon god.
Uh-oh.
It's like, come, you guys, this is like 1920s fucking British adventurist shit, you know?
Do they wear like big tiki style masks?
No, it's like buckets. It really is like buckets with eye holes cut out.
Oh, geez.
Like everybody has a different one, but they are just like buckets. And they all have three eyes. Because they're like backwater hicks with their own religion, they're like more spiritual than the other races in the game. So they have a third eye open. Get it?
I get it.
So, cool.
Man, that, I'm just gonna say that kind of sucks.
It kind of sucks.
Yeah. I don't know what they're trying to say, if they're just being incredibly obtuse and aren't aware of the context here, or what, but in either direction, like, it's not a good look for anybody involved at this point.
It's a little disappointing. But you know, it's mercifully brief. You get your party member. She's excited to go out and explore the world. She teaches the main character how to meditate. It's like kind of that kind of shit. And now I'm done with that, so I can just move on. I don't have to do any more of that.
Hooray!
Yay! But, yeah, you know, it's a little jaw-dropping to see that in a game released in... What year is this? 2024?
Oh, God! I'm late for something.
I was a little shocked. But, you know, I am still having fun with the game, despite that. I have noticed that the writing has gotten worse over time. These characters are sort of almost at the flanderized threshold, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it has regressed to a sort of Dragon Quest style mean. And I really famously do not like how Dragon Quest games are written, especially that last one, Dragon Quest 11. I found that game to be insufferable.
The most played Dragon Quest of all time.
Yeah, that's a real shame.
I don't know. I've never played a Dragon Quest game. Like I admitted earlier, I am mostly enamored with the latter half of the Final Fantasy kind of series when they broke away from the more traditional Dragon Quest style like games that they were making.
Well, they always had their kind of unique flavor. I don't think they were always kind of hewing towards the Dragon Quest.
If you look at
Final
Fantasy 1, like the first one, it is a very clear and direct response to the success of Dragon Quest.
Yeah, that's a Japanese RPG, fantasy RPG.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Are you going to sink another 80 hours into this?
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to keep going at it. And I do want to see if there's like, I know they're going to develop this big twist some more, and I kind of want to see how they do it, because right now I see a forking path in front of me. And one path is incredibly stupid in a bad way, and one path is incredibly stupid in a good way. So I'm putting my chips down on the good one.
Now, I did a cursory search here, because I am not super familiar with everything surrounding Metaphor
on the floor,
Refantasio. Oh. But appears to be an elf character with red hair and kind of like a fringe bangs.
Yeah, I told you about her. That's Hulkenberg.
That's Hulkenberg.
That's Hulkenberg.
That's Hulkenberg. Okay.
Yeah, she likes to eat bugs.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to play this game now. It got me. Oh, no, the waifu got me.
Oh, the waifu who eats bugs. That's great. Yeah, I don't know. It's fun. The battle system is not as tedious as a modern turn-based JRPG battle system could be, so that's all right.
Well, I guess I'll check back in with you in another 80 hours and see where you're at then.
Yeah, why don't you play 80 hours of it, and then we can come to a consensus.
God, I don't know. I've got so much going on. I don't know if I can fit another 80 hours. I got to replay Resident Evil 8 again, specifically the part with that tall lady over and over again. You know, that's really taking up the rest of my October.
You better get back to it.
Yeah.
God forbid you don't replay Resident Evil for the fourth time.
Okay, you know, I was joking. I've done other things than replay Resident Evil. ad nauseum. I'll have you know, I've done other stuff.
You've read some manga. You've watched some anime. You've done stuff in support of the podcast. I know.
It's true.
You would never abandon your post, right? Right?
Listen, I go down with the ship, okay? I'm not going anywhere.
Okay. All right. Well, what have you seen up on that wall?
Oh, you know what? I have, believe it or not, been reading some manga. Hey, what about that? Hey.
I do believe it because, again, that is your duty to uphold. And I know you would never betray me.
I would never go behind your back and do anything other than read manga and watch anime.
Good.
It is my life, my liege.
Yes, and I believe you 100%.
Now, I read a little manga about... Now, get this.
Uh-oh.
And maybe put yourself in this character's shoes to start off with. What if...
Oh, shit.
What if...
Uh-oh.
You woke up one day...
Okay. I've done that before.
In your own apartment.
Oh, I haven't done that.
And there's just like a dude there and he's chilling, watching TV, eating your chips.
Oh, I have done that. I actually have done that. There, one time I did wake up and there was just a dude I've never seen before sitting on the couch watching TV, eating chips. Freaked me the fuck out.
And that's how we met.
No, the way we met was much worse.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
We'll get into
that dark story, yeah. Maybe on the Patreon.
Yeah. No, I'd never seen this. I never saw that guy again, thank God.
Well,
still don't know who it was.
Well, what if instead of just a guy, what if?
Okay.
And get this. What if it was a dinosaur?
You know what? Somehow I think I would be more reassured by that than the... potentially homeless guy that I did find.
Well, you know, that is
what kind of, hold on. I need to know what kind of before I make my choice, what kind of dinosaur are we talking about?
Well, it's, you know, it's like bigger than a dog, but not that big. And it's green and
okay, but like triceratops or pterodactyl.
No, it's just like a dinosaur.
A dinosaur. Just a nondescript dinosaur.
Just kind of like a blobby green scaly dinosaur. You know, he's got like a peanut head. He's got a peanut head.
Well, as Barty taught me, that means it's a T-Rex.
Yeah, I guess you could interpret it as a T-Rex, although I don't think that he would identify as such.
Well, T-Rex is just the default dinosaur, you know, just vanilla of dinosaurs.
Now your reaction there of mild reassurance at it not being a crazy man is exactly the same reaction that the main character of My Roomie is a Dino has. This is a fun little manga that I stumbled upon that apparently has been going on for like 5 years and is relatively popular. It's got like 17 volumes and a web animation.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I looked up a couple episodes of the web animation, and it's like a real stuttery flash stuff. It's not great. I wouldn't recommend going there. But
Motion comic?
More than a motion comic. I will give it that.
Okay.
But it's
step
like
up.
Like 2003 flash era. Think about that. Yeah.
Mixed bag.
But the manga is quite charming. It is about a Gyaru, and before you say anything, it is not a Gyaru comic, not in the context that I have with them anyway. So don't go accusing me of anything.
Uh-huh.
All right,
okay,
this is just a comic where the main character happens to be a Gyaru. It's not a Gyaru rom-com. Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so it's about her, this chick who wakes up one day after a heavy night of drinking with her friends and discovers that there's a cartoon dinosaur just hanging out in her apartment. And she's like, hey, what the fuck, dude? You're eating my chips. And he's just like, I don't know. You left the door open. He doesn't say that. He doesn't talk. The dinosaur doesn't talk. He doesn't talk. She imposes a lot of dialogue on him. A lot of assumptions going on.
So this is sort of, he's kind of molded in the Snoopy and Garfield style.
Yeah, I think with in the case of those two characters, we are privy to their internal monologue at times, even if they can't communicate with the human characters. We're never given that insight with the dinosaur, since our main girl here is our lead focus. Everything is through her POV. And the dinosaur is just kind of there. And he's cool. Like, he cleans up after himself. He's, you know, somewhat conscientious. But she's just like, all right, well, I got to go to work. And this seems, like, stressful. I don't really want to deal with it. So I guess I'm just going to let you stay here and be cool with it. And it sparks a truly heartwarming friendship between a girl in her mid-20s trying to make it in the city and a dinosaur who likes to eat ramen. That is what dinosaurs eat, by the way. They eat ramen. They established that.
They eat ramen.
Yeah.
So it's a vegetarian dinosaur.
No, he likes it with the meat. He likes the meat ramen.
Oh, he likes a pork ramen?
Yeah, he likes a chashu ramen or a shrimp ramen. He's good with it. He likes a miso ramen.
And how does he order the ramen?
Well, with her credit card on Uber Eats.
He just tap touch.
Yep.
I see. Okay. It's smart. That's smart for a dinosaur.
Yeah. No, it's genuinely funny. They have a couple good gags in there, like how, for whatever reason, the dinosaur, like, just genuinely hits it off really well with her ex-boyfriend. And, like, whenever he comes around, like, they end up just kind of palling around together most of the time. It's very cute.
Why is her ex-boyfriend coming around?
Well, it's kind of a whole thing. He is introduced as showing up and being like, hey, I know we broke up, but my mom, like, liked you so much, she wanted me to give you these cucumbers that she grew. That's his...
Yo, bro, leave her alone, dog.
I know. Well, here's the thing. The reason is because he never actually told his parents that they broke up, and so he's trying to keep up the facade so his parents don't think that he's a Playboy man baby. But with the help of the dinosaur, he comes to realize that that wasn't a very cool thing of him to do. Wasn't very friendly.
Wow.
See, he wants to stay on the dinosaur's good side. So to do that, he does fess up to his parents eventually that they're no longer dating.
So he is a Barney.
He is a Barney, yeah. But like for a Barney for shitty 20-somethings.
Adult children.
Yeah. Adult baby Barbie.
Oh,
Barney.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, that makes me sad.
But
I see.
I mean, the dinosaur is not perfect. He is a freeloader. He does not have a job. He is constantly ordering takeout on her credit card and not paying her back. So that is something not cool the dinosaur is doing. But maybe it's worth it. I don't know. Is curing someone's social anxiety worth racking up their credit card debt? You tell me.
Well, I am in therapy, so I feel like I have a personal answer. Now, this feels like it's in a grand tradition along with some other things I've read. You know, we talked a while back about Virgin and Unicorn, mm-hmm. obviously. Now, the unicorn in that does talk, like, quite a lot, and he is kind of weird. He doesn't really solve any problems.
He's kind of a jerk. He talks too much.
He tries to maintain the office lady in question's virginity.
Yeah.
So he kind of ruins her life for the most part.
Well, that's what unicorns do, though.
Well, they do love virginity, don't they?
Yeah, and being stuck-up assholes.
These disgusting unicorns. Yeah. Maybe it is good that they're extinct.
Unicorns were kind of elitist jerks.
Yes. Now, of course, this is also in the tradition of something like Gyaru and Cthulhu, which ran for a little while. It's about a Gyaru who doesn't know that her aquarium pet is actually an eldritch horror. They seem to get along pretty well.
I mean, I guess. I feel like I remember Cthulhu being quite a lot bigger than that, than fitting into an apartment aquarium. But
oh, this is a young one. This is a young Cthulhu.
This is a baby Cthulhu.
Yeah, they start off as tadpoles. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Although, yeah. Actually, I could have guessed that from Hellboy.
Yeah.
We talked about that recently.
Yeah, exactly.
They do a whole thing about Satan being a tadpole or something. I don't know. Don't quote me.
Yeah, it takes a long time to reach a good size, you know, like an earth-shaking size.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm surprised that we didn't get a similar response to Baby Cthulhu that we did to Baby Yoda. I feel like there's a lot of potential there.
He is very cute.
Tiny little squid baby, cute, big eyes. Like, come on. It's there, and Baby Yoda is ugly as fuck and is stupid and doesn't talk. So that's my opinion. That's my review of The Mandalorian. Baby Yoda was stupid.
Baby Yoda was stupid. Man, that is real contrarian of you. Now, there is also the connection between a series I think I talked about before, about the woman and Lucky Cat.
Yes.
Did I talk about that?
Yes.
Yes, which I really liked. I really liked that one. That's the kind of like mid-20s woman whose life essentially gets invaded by a lucky cat who continually seems to ruin various things for her, but it all turns out well because he is sort of a semi-magical lucky cat.
I mean, he's a lucky cat.
Yeah. He's also bigger than any cat should ever be. That's like a big part of his life.
Now, where would we classify last year's... Oh, what was the name of that anime? The Masterful House Cat something something about the
the most misogynistic yeah. anime I've ever seen in my life.
The Masterful House Cat hates women.
Yes. The misogynistic house cat. Oh man.
That's kind of in the same realm, right?
Oh, very much in the same realm, for sure.
Yeah.
Man, I hated that one.
That's actually kind of the polar opposite of the dynamic of this and of Masterful House Cat and My Roomie is a Dino.
Yeah.
Where he's just kind of like an asshole roommate that looks down on you and passive aggressively cleans up and like he's like, wow, you can't fucking take care of yourself. You suck.
That cat is so condescending. It's incredible.
Whereas as the Dino is much more of like a he's like a Nick Frost to your Simon Pegg type of relationship, right? He's a lovable oaf, but one that guides you in the right direction.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that seems right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been thinking about this the whole time since you told me, but actually, the thing I flash back on constantly, and even outside of this context, sometimes it just pops into my mind, but do you happen to remember a little Gainax anime called Oruchuban Ebichu?
Oh, gosh. Ebichu.
Yes, Ebichu.
The name sounds so familiar. Remind me, what was the plot?
Now, this was maybe or maybe not a sort of reaction to Hamtaro. This was about the 28-year-old office.
Oh, was this about the dirty hamster show?
Yes, the office lady who has a pet hamster that continually sexually embarrasses her and ruins her life. Especially the ex-boyfriend part reminded me immediately of it because this woman's life really sucks. And she is constantly stress smoking and drinking. And every once in a while, she has these really pathetic dalliances with her ex-boyfriend, who is an absolute piece of shit. And Ebichu is constantly trying to get her to stop seeing him. But, you know, this woman is very sad and lonely. And he's kind of the only person who gives her the time of day, even though he's kind of an abusive asshole. And Ebichu herself is sort of the housekeeper, I guess. You know, Ebichu is constantly cleaning up after Office Lady. I'm not sure if Office Lady even had a name. That's kind of the level Ebichu was at.
I see.
But Ebichu is almost constantly getting kicked or Bart-style strangled or thrown out the window because Ebichu will do things like try to get her ex-boyfriend to wear a condom when they have sex. by dragging them out of the drawer, or like, you know, put out her underwear on the front porch to dry it because Ebuchu is very small and can't reach the clothesline. These kinds of things.
I see.
Which only exacerbate office ladies' frustration with life.
Now, I want to be clear that the ex-boyfriend in My Roomie is a Dino is not abusive or like a horrible person. He's just kind of a flaky layabout. You know, he's just not a put together dude, but he was not abusive. I want to be clear about that.
Not an abusive asshole.
Yeah.
Like in Orochiba and Ebuchu.
Yeah. Think more like Chris Pratt in season one of Parks and Rec versus real life Chris Pratt that everybody hates now.
Chris Pratt, who lived in a hole.
Yeah.
That era.
Yeah. Let's all go back to Pitt era Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
And not Christian nationalist Chris Pratt.
I really, you know, now that again that I don't think we ever talked about it, I really liked Ebuchu. It was one of the first, like, I hate to call it like an adult anime, you know, because it mm-hmm. really is just crass humor. But I really, that was like a thing I just had, and it felt, you know, illicit or like illegal to have, because it was like this thing that got like snuck out of Japan.
I mean, I think it is, it's that, and I think it's funnier in the context of us having the knowledge of Hamtaro as well, right? It's like, you know about Hamtaro, and it was like the little kid anime about hamsters, and then there's a fucking Adult Swim Hamtaro where he swears and they talk about fucking and shit.
Well, Ebuchu never swears. Ebuchu is very innocent and well-meaning. You know, Ebuchu is very earnest. It's just that that earnestness and cluelessness exacerbates the very terrible and sad and lonely life of this office lady. And seeing, you know what, seeing an anime again that, like, as you know, as a younger guy, a young teen, very young teen, seeing an anime that was about a middle-aged, a mid-20s to late 20s woman, not girl, woman, was kind of mind-blowing. We never saw that.
Yeah, you never see that outside of, like, the only other example that I can think of is as ancillary characters to, like, Golden Boy episodes, right?
Yes, this or the sexy nurse in a fucking high school shonen or whatever, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, that is part of the symptom of most of the anime that we grew up consuming was shonen, or at least intended to be consumed by kids and teens, which is going to be focused on like characters that represent that age group, right? Outside of that, I think the reason you don't see it is because probably of misogyny in the publishing and creative world.
Well, that's why it was mind-blowing.
And it's incredibly refreshing when we do get to see it, yeah.
Yeah, it felt unique and weird. And, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses for us, but at the same time, we also did not have the ability to just go out and get anime. Our anime watching was being curated for us, you know, at that time.
It was Toonami and Adult Swim and whatever your weird cousin torrented.
Or you're like, your friend's older brother would bring out a tub of DVDs and be like, have at it, children.
Yeah.
And he'd have just weird shit that no one should ever watch.
The first time I saw Golden Boy and Fooly Hooly is because you handed me a blank disc at school and said, here, there's anime on this.
Once I discovered that you could find things in the dark corners of the internet, I became a real proselytizer, a sort of missionary of like offbeat anime that wasn't on TV at the time.
You're like that crazy preacher at the end of the 80s Blob remake. He has the little vial of the blob and he's talking about the end of the world.
Yeah. Well, I have something that's like a little offbeat from that, but I wanted to bring up because this is a Gyaru comic I thought you would appreciate. and it's something unique to your general Gyaru intake.
Okay, I'm listening.
And I think when we talked about it, you might not have, fairly certain you have not read this one. I'm not sure if you've even heard about it. Nate, I read the first handful of chapters of something called Esukeban, A Transfer Student and Their Silly Little Game. Are you aware of this?
No, this is new to me. Go on, I'm intrigued.
It's the strongest Sukeban cross airheaded transfer student manga. This is an incredibly cute little Yuri comic about two schoolgirls in the 80s, one being the unbeatable delinquent girl, right?
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Who rules the neighborhood with an iron fist and is the ogre of, I don't know what their school is called, but school name high.
Yep. Awesome lady Joker boss bitch.
And the other girl is a new transfer student who is at first kind of inexplicably enamored with her. And she kind of, as a way to get more familiar with her, she starts trying to play this game where she will come to school with a list of what she considers cute and silly words, and she will give it to the Sukeban girl to read out loud to her, and she finds this endlessly amusing. It's words like cuddle or wabbit, you know, stuff like that.
Wabbit?
Yeah, you know, like rabbit, but wabbit.
Wascally wabbits?
Yeah, you know, just silly stuff like that. And this kind of develops into, like, a very bizarre relationship where they're both kind of like, why do we like spending so much time together, even though our only connection is this, like, weird thing where it's like she'll literally come up to her at lunch and give her a note that says, like, a list of words like fluffy, tum-tum, oodles and poodles, shit like that.
Now, I know that this is coming through the filter of a translator, but I can only yes. imagine what this sounds like in the original Japanese, right? Like, do you think that the translators are trying to evoke the same, like, feeling they're going for? Are they trying to do the same, like, rhyming scheme that you would see translated? Stuff like this, linguistic stuff, it's always interesting to think about, like, what gets changed, especially with the sillier stuff like this, right?
Yes, for those choices, that kind of choice in particular, I just have no idea where you'd start, because I'm sure that does not translate at all. I mean, 90% of it, fluffy, is like, that's fluffy. Just sounds. That's just sounds. I don't know where, if I was translating, I don't know where I'd begin. But the image of this girl, shyly walking up to this, like, badass, like, 80s delinquent high school girl who is, like, smoking out the window of their homeroom class, you know, and just giving her this note, be like, please read these for me, and then just loving the shit out of it. That got me real good. I was like, oh yeah, no, this is fucking great. And the art style is very good. It sort of evokes almost like an 80s throwback to, like, kind of, you know, girls publications, kind of shoujo stuff like that. And it develops, even though that premise is obviously extremely thin, it develops in a fun way and it gets cuter and cuter. And I really liked it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely going to check this out.
Yes.
I like stuff that is good at showing.
I like stuff that is good.
I like stuff that is good.
Not always.
That is a complete statement.
Yeah, sometimes that is not true, but.
Sometimes I like stuff that's not good, but that's on me.
Yeah.
I will say that generally I like stuff that is good. No, what I'm trying to say is I like manga that is good at showing, like, realistic female friendships, right? We get a lot of focus on male friendship in shonen stuff, and it seems like a lot of, like, female.
Well, hold
cast...
on, I might push back on that a little bit. I have found, you know, we I want to find the right vehicle to talk about this, but I've found that male friendship has been, at least in recent stuff, has been so devalued to the point where male characters are basically surrounded by the cute waifus and then maybe one other male character who they have like maybe a contentious but playful relationship with, but something that's not like an intimate friendship, at least the stuff that I read.
Interesting.
Which is
interesting,
you know, mostly kind of shonen-y stuff.
Well, no,
but
I
found that to be
a
recent trend.
Admit that you read a lot more shonen stuff than I do. It's generally not my particular taste.
Yeah, fairly not.
Yeah, well, apparently not. Now, it's interesting you bring that up. I'm glad you did. Hey, let's bring back friendship of all genders in
manga,
anime.
Manga and anime and like games and stuff just do not have guys being dudes. They just don't have one for the boys, you know what I mean? It's like not
okay,
a thing. All right, really.
All right. Let's not get carried
saying.
Away here.
I'm
Let's
just
not
saying.
Get carried
I,
away.
I'll find something with a good example and I'll come back to it. But yeah, continue.
What
girls,
I was trying to say is
girls being chicks and
yeah,
and cool and shit.
You know, I like when they show that and it's not, you know, specifically centered around like, you know, through the POV of an insert male character, like that Alya hides her feelings in Russian, which had a majority female cast, but they all ended up just being, you know, the waifu for the one loser male character that we centered
yes.
the show on.
Yeah.
I like it when girls are just being chicks together. I think that's fun. What was that one? What was that manga anime you talked about? Asobi Asobatai, is that right?
Asobe Asobasi, which it really is just girls being dudes.
Yeah,
like,
hell yeah!
I love that. It was just a trio of like fail children, just like figuring out new and interesting ways to fail, which is just absolutely delightful. I really like that. And also, again, returning to our assertion, maybe our groundless assertion, but at least my assertion that the funniest anime in general are the anime that are just about groups of girls, like friend groups of girls doing stupid shit together.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'm late to the game on this one, but I just recently finished watching all of Keep Your Hands Off Aizuken,
yes,
which is 100% that vibe.
Yes.
And done by Masaaki Yuasa and Studio Science Saru, and looks amazing and is amazing in every possible sense. Man, I love that series so much.
It absolutely rules.
And it is girls being chicks being dudes.
It fucking rocks.
Yeah.
It's so great. Now you just got to finish all of Nichiju. Azumanga Daioh, you'll get there.
Yeah, in retrospect, Nokatan, I don't know if it was trying to parody that whole kind of subgenre or if it was just doing its own thing. It's not the vibe that I got from it though. I did not
she
get the vibe.
She doesn't have friends.
Yeah.
She doesn't have friends in that manga.
No, she's specifically a friend hater.
Yeah. It's a completely different thing.
Different vibe.
The ones that are funny are when the girls are friends with each other.
Yeah.
And they're just dumb. They're like dumb fail girls, which is the best vibe. My favorite kind of character in a manga. Like just like a fail girl.
Just a fail girl?
Yeah.
Wait, I
mean, one, they're way more relatable than most manga characters. Just
sure.
In general.
Well, I mean, isn't that why people like... what's her face from the current Chainsaw Man arc?
You know, what's her face?
Asa, that's right, Asa.
Yes, Asa. Yes,
she is the prototypical fail girl.
Asa is a very lovable fail girl.
Everybody loves Asa.
Yes, she is great, and she is 100% a fail girl for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh man. Okay. What else? What else you been reading? You got more?
I got a few more that are completely unrelated to these, but why don't we take a quick break?
Okay. All right, let's take a break.
Okay, Nate, well, like I said, I've done a little bit more than reminisce on dirty hamster anime and read about cute 80s girls.
And believe me, we could go on about those two subjects all night if we wanted to.
But I read those, you know, I've read a bunch of stuff, as is my tendency.
Mm-hmm.
I read all of Dark Gathering manga after watching the anime and really liking it and remarking how weird it was that it ended. The first couple episodes ended up on Shudder, of all places.
Yeah, the first three episodes on Shudder, and then you had to go to Crunchyroll to get the rest.
Yes, oh, Shudder being the only good streaming site.
It's true. It's true. Boy, do I like Shudder.
I love Shudder, and I love the amount of money they're paying me to say that.
Wait, you're getting paid?
I'll talk to you later about that. I really like Dark Gathering. It's good. It's good, people. It's that nice blend of like kind of really no holds barred horror mixed with sort of the kind of like the faux cutesiness thing. What do they call it? I said it before. Gap moe.
Yes.
Yes.
The juxtaposition, the sweet juxtaposition of the dark and the cute.
Yes. But I guess it's sort of the like in reverse. Gap moe, but in reverse. It's good. It's good, folks. It's ghost stories. It's weird shit. It's cool. I also went back and reread slash caught up on Battle 5 Seconds After Meeting, which is at this point very long running death game series that is just ridiculous. It's just really nonsense.
Now, do you have to battle someone 5 seconds after meeting them?
Unfortunately, they kind of like dip in and out of that concept. It does not come up very much.
Oh,
the very first what would I call them trial in Battle 5 Seconds After Meeting, the main character does battle someone 5 seconds after meeting them.
Okay.
This but unfortunately the second trial they battle like a pretty long time, more than 5 seconds after meeting their opponents.
And these are new opponents, not opponents they've already met.
No, they get teamed up with the people they fought, and then they fight new people. And then in the third trial, they go a very long time before battling anybody they meet. Like, a really long time. So it takes a really long time to get back to the premise, and it turns out the premise is it doesn't really matter anyway. It's not really about that. It's mostly like, what if Tomodachi Game was like more of a standard shonen where like people got powers and they had to like fight each other?
Okay. I mean, are they at least cool powers, like X-Men powers? What are we talking about?
Well, I will say the main character's power is whatever his opponent believes the power to be.
Oh, that's dumb. That's a bullshit dumb power.
No, I like it. I think it's kind of the only interesting one out of the whole power set, because he constantly has to find ways to manipulate people into believing that he has the power that is most useful to him in the moment, which is cool. I like that. It's a fun little thing. But then everybody else's powers end up being stuff like JoJo shit, or stuff like my hand turns into a gun, or like I can make swords out of sticks.
Once again, Japan insisting that just having a gun is its own superpower.
It's a power, yes. It's so funny. It starts off as my hand turns into a cannon, which is like, okay, I guess so. And then later on, we do meet a woman who says, my hand turns into a 9mm, like a Glock, you know?
Okay, so is that different? How is that different than just holding a gun in your hand?
Well, she does say, I have this power because my dad's from America, and he taught me how to shoot a gun when I was in America, which is very funny. It's very funny.
I mean, I can't disagree. My dad did teach me how to shoot a gun in America.
I mean, yeah, that's how all of our lives go. That's just a common experience for us Americans. And the powers become, like I said, become more JoJo-like as the series goes on, where to the point where it essentially becomes JoJo. But by the time they reach the fourth quote-unquote trial, it is just JoJo powers.
It's just JoJo.
It is just JoJo. There's not even stages anymore. They're just out in the wild in Tokyo and encountering each other JoJo style. So we've just wrapped up where I just finished. We've wrapped up the fourth trial. So I guess the JoJo battles are probably not going to continue into the next round. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. So it's a big turning point in the series, which is why I wanted to catch up.
How many chapters in is the series? Like, where are we in the lifespan?
Like 220.
What?
Yeah. It's been going for a little while.
Okay, I feel like maybe we play the wrap it up music a little bit. Starting around chapter 200.
Once they got to This Is Just JoJo, they really milked it for all it's worth. We went through a long JoJo period, which I guess is just what all shonen becomes.
Yeah, everybody wants to be JoJo.
Everybody wants to be JoJo.
JoJo's the goat.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing to aspire to.
No.
I'll say that. You know, that new Chainsaw Man came out and causing a lot of really stupid people to lose their shit. I still like Chainsaw Man. I'm not losing my shit, but I do believe the series is maybe slowing down because Fujimoto wants to do literally anything else. That's just me. I'm positing that.
I could see that being true. I'm not necessarily convinced it's the truth or the case, but I could see it being a possibility for sure. He seems like a guy who, you know, for lack of a better word, he seems like a true creative. He wants to explore new ideas. He doesn't want to be tied down to one franchise and be like have that be his one thing that he gets to work on forever.
Yeah,
right?
You know, having seen, you know, Look Back now and being reminded of the plot of Look Back, I think we can infer some things about what happens in Look Back.
Yeah.
You know, being maybe sort of a little bit of resentment from the main character and having been locked into a shark kick, I think is the manga she's working on in that.
It's not subtle.
It's not subtle. But also reading the short story collection, which is a bunch of really interesting ideas, you know, and reading, of course, Look Back and, you know, Goodbye Eri, which I think might be next up for a movie adaptation, maybe.
I mean, considering the success of the Look Back movie, I would absolutely believe that they're eyeing that next. They're probably even storyboarding as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope so. I like Goodbye Eri a lot. I think it was really good. But, you know, things like that kind of maybe implying that Fujimoto is maybe chafing a little bit under the weight of Chainsaw Man. But in the spirit
you know,
of that...
I think part of it is that he probably, almost certainly, there's been stuff that he's wanted to do with the story that he got pushback from his publishers and editors about, right?
Like including Denji?
Yes. Let's get away from Denji. Let the poor kid just have his life. He already suffered enough.
The editors were like, excuse me. They're like reading the first couple of proposals and they're like, no.
It's called Chainsaw Man.
It's called Chainsaw Man.
Yeah.
We're going to have Denji in the story. I don't know what to tell you. He's going to be in the story. And he's like, oh, fine. All right.
I was thinking of more like including the more stranger or darker aspects that he explored in something like Fire Punch. You know, Fire Punch was before he was like a huge name and he was definitely given a lot more liberty to, let's say, indulge his worst aspects as a writer. And I want to see that let loose a little bit more.
Kind of letting it rip.
Yeah.
As the Chainsaw Man.
I want to see him fire from the hip on this going forward. But I don't think they're going to let him do that. I think it's too much of a moneymaker now. They're milking it. They're starting to milk it for all it's worth.
If I'm him, I'm doing sort of a, who was it? Was it Morrissey who had the Contractual Obligation album? So he just put out like drunken ramblings, just like the worst awful bullshit that he had to his label and they had to publish it. Was that Morrissey?
It could have been Morrissey. I mean,
was it Van Morrison? Am I confusing them?
It could have been any number of 1970s UK pop stars.
It was one of those guys, you know, one of those guys who did that. I could see Fujimoto coming out and being like, I'm going to put out the most, like, egregious, like, shock shit that is just going to, like, scare off the Chainsaw Man fans just to get out of this. You know, I could see him doing a move like that, which would delight me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it wouldn't be unheard of to bomb your own plot when you see the end is near, you know?
Absolutely.
But I hope he doesn't do that. I hope that at the very least we get somewhat of a graceful landing wherever we go with the story. Because I really do love Chainsaw Man quite a bit. It's
yeah, I like it.
It's up there with my favorite things.
Yes, it's very good.
I've put it on my little shelf with the things that I like personally, and Chainsaw Man is up there.
Your weird little Hey Arnold altar in your closet.
Yeah. Oh, nice pull. Nice pull.
I was thinking about
90s
that.
Kid represent. 90s kid represent. Yeah.
Thinking about that the other day. But in that spirit, I did read a couple of, you know, that and obviously Jujutsu Kaisen, they have a lot of imitators these days. The big one, you know, being like Kagurabachi right now, is getting a lot of attention, which is, you know, a bit of a combination of Chainsaw Man and Jujutsu Kaisen, and a lesser known one that I read recently called Lily Men.
That sounds like a 1940s insult for an effeminate man.
I know. Well, and also the monsters in Lily Men.
Look at them Lily Men over there.
It's sort of like a Chainsaw Man via Tokyo Ghoul kind of thing, where the main character kind of accidentally becomes like half ghoul. But the ghoul in these series is, they're called succubi. And they are not the succubi you usually see in a manga.
Okay.
They're like blood demons.
So they're vampires.
No, they don't eat people. They like hollow them out and put them in like egg sacs to birth new succubi.
Gross.
And they use blood as their like weapon.
That's pretty cool. That's metal as fuck.
Yeah. And it's really fun. There's not many chapters that I could find, but it definitely has, like, our main character is very much a Denji, and not in the like explicit ripoff-y way, but in like, he is a character who is, since birth, he's raised in this like succubus breeding facility. So he never really knows anything about anything.
He is Plato's man chained up in a cave, let loose.
Yes, and his ultimate desire is that, like, he read in a book about the outside world that there are things like cats and curry.
Who let that book in there?
And Ferris wheels. Yeah, well, who knows? A sympathetic nurse, perhaps. And so when he eventually gets his half ghoulification, half succubi powers, and escapes the facility, he is very Denji like in that he's just wandering around like Tokyo being like, whoa, this is fucking crazy. I wonder where I can find a hamburger. I've read so much about them. I've really always wanted to try hamburger. you know, and he's, and
point me to hamburger.
Yes. And eventually he gets like Denji kind of like sucked up into this very convoluted political machine about murdering these things that he's not really sure he hates because of all the time he's spent with them, but he's not really sure he could trust them either, right? It's a Chainsaw Man like that I have a lot of sympathy for because it doesn't play anything straight. And the art is very interesting, and like Fujimoto's art is kind of like sketchy and weird.
Yeah.
It's something I would watch very closely instead of Kagurabachi, which is fine. It's fine. Don't get me wrong.
Okay, question. I got something popped in my head. Going forward, now that we're in an age post, you know, Chainsaw Man,
yep,
mega blow up in popularity, and we're seeing inspirations and knockoffs pop up.
Yep.
Should we be worried that there's going to be a Denji type going forward? I see that as becoming maybe an icon of male grievance instead of an example of why it's bad.
I don't think there is a way to move away from the, like, essentially the character in Kagurabachi, which is the biggest drag of that series, being the kind of stoic loner justice asshole. I just don't see a way that we can get away from that. I don't think Denji has the same kind of characteristic that people want to project themselves into, especially these days where people are starting to realize he's sort of pathetic.
Well, he was always pathetic. That's kind of the
point.
Yes,
but people didn't get that. That's the thing.
Well, because people have horrible media literacy.
Yes.
And so that's what I'm saying is Denji, very specifically, is an example of all of the things that they claim that they're actually complaining about how about how males are treated in society. Like, he's an actual victim being taken advantage of left and right
by a powerful woman,
by not just powerful women, by everybody.
Bobbies.
Oftentimes manipulating his childlike understanding of sexuality, right? And I feel like maybe people are taking the lesson that, yeah, it's cool to be like Denji because he has chainsaws for hands.
Well, I will say, I think it would be, it's more interesting for people to do it like during the middle of public safety, because he gets his state mandated waifu.
Mm-hmm.
he gets his state mandated cool older brother / best friend. He gets a steady job that's like fun and fulfilling.
That's what I'm saying, though. He gets all the things that they say would solve their lives' problems, and he's still not happy because everything still goes to shit in the end for him.
Yeah, well, he's very briefly
happy. Because
he
is both a fuck-up himself, and everyone that he encounters seems to be actively working against him.
Yes, I don't see that type, because people don't like to see that kind of thing. The male ideal, I think, for most people who enjoy power fantasy has always been complete and utter competency and self-reliance.
I guess there's really nothing I should be worried about in a world where solo leveling is like exists and is as popular as it is.
Yes. I think what we really are moving away from is we are not going to be seeing as many Demon Slayer style justice boys. We'll never get rid of them. There will always be shonen with Demon Slayer style justice boys. You know, Tanjiro will always be a guy in these anime. But I do think there are going to be characters who are maybe a little more complicated, potentially. But, you know, if Kagurabachi can still be the up-and-coming most popular thing, that main character is a hyper-competent, stoic, kind of solo badass guy. So I don't think we are at threat of, like, Denji becoming the canonical shonen character.
I mean, Denji is not hyper-competent, but he is the most powerful.
I mean, he is the most powerful, I guess so. There's too many wrinkles.
He has universal delete powers. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah,
I don't want to get into like power ranking shit, but if you can erase stuff from the universe, like, that's got to be up there.
The only way to talk about it in that way would be to go into power ranking shit, and I just feel like that's not what we do here.
I don't know.
I'm not interested in that, and I don't even know if I can like get into that kind of thing anymore, because it's just, I haven't really thought about anime and manga in those terms since I was like way younger. So I think Denji himself is too complex to just copy paste.
Well, yeah, definitely.
I think that's the bottom line.
That's the missing ingredient here, is that for everything, Denji is a like compelling and well-written and complex character that we like and like are invested in seeing what happens to him.
Yes.
He's a real fucking character.
He has things going on. I think the other one that we'll see a little bit more of is stuff like, you know, Itadori, who is a happy-go-lucky, for the most part, lovable doofus.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we see in Tower Dungeon, something that I've been reading for a little while. Takes a long time for chapters to come out. But Tower Dungeon being the new comic from Nihei Tsutomu.
Is that Blame?
Blame.
Yeah.
Blame guy.
Yeah, buddy.
And this is a very big swing from Nihei Tsutomu, because this is almost sort of like his kind of Dorohei Doro-ish kind of thing, which is this very, like all of his stories, there is a like kind of living superstructure that is being navigated by our characters, right?
Recurring motif with this. With
the
this
single
guy.
Most solid recurring motif in all of Nihei Tsutomu's works.
If you grow up in Tokyo, having like been there and seen a small fraction, I can see why that would be like a recurring motif, not just in his work, but something you see in a lot of manga, right?
Sure.
The living machine world.
Yeah. It's funny because I think of the Kowloon Walled City mangas that rip that kind of thing off all the time.
Yeah.
People really kind of like fantasize about that thing. But Tower Dungeon is a completely different kind of swing for Nihei Tsutomu, because he's working suddenly in the very popular fantasy genre, something that he doesn't really do. He's always been sort of sci-fi tinged, and sci-fi tragedies is sort of been his thing, with like more when there is lightheartedness in his comics, it's more dramatic irony than it is anything else. Whereas, like I said, it's sort of Dorohei Doro-esque in this one, where he is working with a main character who is a lovable doofus. It's like very explicitly and successfully funny.
Okay.
It is a very funny comic.
Well, that's interesting, because I'm having a hard time picturing it just knowing what I know about this author. Like, the only thing I've read from him is Blame, which...
And Abura, right?
No, I didn't read Abura.
Oh, well, you should.
I know I should. I did read Blame, and the main character in that is like the exact opposite of what you're describing here.
Yes.
He is like the classic stoic, near silent, badass with a special gun.
Yeah.
Navigating the post-apocalyptic techno hellscape.
Well, quite literally inhuman.
Yeah.
In that way. Yeah, this is so different. He is literally the happy-go-lucky, like, peasant podunk who accidentally happens to be, like, very powerful, but not in the traditional shonen way where it's like, I've unlocked my hidden potential. More in, like, he is kind of like the big, dumb, happy-go-lucky kind of brute idiot. Like, who doesn't understand his own strength, so okay. He's constantly doing stupid shit, and his little fantasy party making their way through this like comically exaggerated grotesque RPG dungeon where they have to climb this dungeon tower to rescue a princess. And very much like Dorohei Doro, its grotesqueness is used as a fodder for comedy. Like, the way that the characters interact nonchalantly with, like, the horrors of the RPG dungeon mm-hmm. is very similar to the way that the characters kind of react very happy-go-luckily to the horrors of the hole in Dorohei Doro.
Yeah.
And I find it to be... I mean, I love all of Nihei Tsutomu's work. I genuinely, like, very big fan of everything. But I really love this one. Like, it is so different from everything else, and it is so successful in its difference that from the bottom of my heart, I'm just truly moved by how much I love it. And it represents a continuation of his really experimental and interesting art style. I've never seen a manga artist develop so completely into their own over a course of so many series, while also being successful at every step of the way. You know, Blame is a thing that a lot of people sometimes think is ugly because of the way it's grimy and like misshapen.
I mean, it's not ugly. It is portraying an ugly world. And, you know, maybe some people can't really tell the difference between that. You know, it's beautifully drawn.
Yes.
It's absolutely amazing in its technical skill in some of the vast, like, weird techno landscapes that they do, right?
Yeah. And I think at that time, Nihei Tsutomu was also more interested in drawing those backgrounds and technoscapes than he was, like, humans.
Uh-huh. And it shows.
Yeah, it's reflected in the story of those comics.
All of the ancillary characters are weird, like, fucked up, inhuman, cyborg creatures that look yes. more insectoid than anything.
And I think whatever it was, Nihei Tsutomu has, like, pushed himself more and more to develop different styles, to the point where now he is working in a way that is almost completely opposite, without losing his personal identity artistically, from Blame, where, like I talked about Apposims, he has developed an economy of artistic, like, line work, mm-hmm. to the point where he can represent things using so few lines that the paper itself can almost be blindingly white without losing definition or expressionism, which I find to be the most impressive comic work that you can pull off.
And publishers love that he can do it with less ink.
Yeah, it's so little ink. I think, like, that's to make he keeps being, like, canceled over and over again. So I kind of think he's like, well, my comics are the cheapest to print. Yeah. Like, you can't cancel me. But also, like, his people work has grown so much that he is doing really, really expressive and very unique off-model manga artist people. And it really shows in this comic, because the characters are very expressive and unique and different from each other and from other manga in general. I cannot gush about Nihei Tsutomu and Tower Dungeon enough. This shit is the good shit, people. Read the good shit. I am begging you.
And with that plea, I think we should bring this session to an end.
All right, that's fair enough.
Yeah. All right, people. You heard us talk about all that beautiful, juicy, lovely manga. Go watch it. Go read it. Consume it. Take our advice. Let us know what you think of it. I really, really want the engagement. So bad.
So bad. And even more than that, just read the good shit and not the bad shit, please. Like, fuck, God, you guys.
I know it's a big ask, but we're going to get them there. We're going to get them there eventually. We're working
the good shit. All the good shit keeps getting canceled and all the bad shit goes on forever. I'm begging you, please.
We don't understand it. We don't understand the mechanisms by which this keeps happening, but damn us if we're not going to try and fight against it, and that includes you.
Do your part, little soldiers.
Do your part. With that, dear, beautiful, handsome, lovely listeners, go download the episodes, leave us reviews, give us stars, check us out on Blue Sky. We're out there. We're doing the TikTok videos. I just put one up yesterday, so go watch them. Give me likes. Give me views. And we will see you next time, which will be our pre-Halloween 2024 Ultra Bash Spectacular.
Oh, shit. Is that true? Let me look at the calendar really quick.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. God damn. That's going to be Halloween. Mm-hmm. I guess we should do a little bit of research and try to do it like a try-hard episode, maybe.
Yeah, let's do a try-hard episode.
We haven't done one of those in a while.
We'll put effort into it.
Okay. No promises, though.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
You want a beer? And the guy's like, what? No, I'm underage. I just want a juice. And it's like, this guy was killing people, like murdering people.